Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Around the Corner podcast from Covering the Corner, talking all things Cleveland Guardians, minor leagues, and prospects. I'm your co-host, Brian Heminger, joined today by none other than Matthew Schlichting. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm alive.
That's always a good thing.
Most of the time. It's been really, really busy over here, and I'm going a little crazy, but...
I feel you.
We're hanging on.
So, well, as we do each 2 weeks, let's talk some Cleveland Guardians prospects. It's been a busy, entertaining 2 weeks for the top 10 prospects in the Guardian system.
So we'll go ahead and kick it off with none other than George Valera, number one on the countdown.
Can't go wrong. And this past week, he looked pretty sharp. Nothing crazy, but, had a nice little 13.5% walk rate. Slash was a little low with the 222, 327, 267. So didn't hit for much power this past 2 weeks. No home run, surprisingly. So no bat flips.
Sad.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that jumps out to me from his line here is he had 15 strikeouts in a couple of weeks, which you can live with that. Especially in today's game. So it's not the end of the world. He still drew his walks. So it's not like he was an out. So,
yep. I mean, 327 isn't an elite on base percentage, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, so I'll take these are his bad stretches.
Yeah, exactly. That's good for a bad stretch. Number two, Brian Rocchio, also on the Akron Rubber Ducks. He also, not his best stretch. Slashing 208, 283, 354. On the bright side, his strikeout rate was lower than Valera's, just 20%, nothing too terrible. And walk rate was still pretty good, 9.3. He also did club a couple home runs. So he didn't have a lot of hits, but some of the hits were pretty big ones.
Yeah, it's nice to see him crank too. And both him and Valera had 8 singles. Rocchio had 7 singles, so it's not like these guys were ice cold or anything. It's just compared to league average, a little down. So it goes.
Now, number three is interesting because...
This was bad.
It was bad, but it's also good that he's back.
Yes, that's the key thing.
Yes. Right? So you got to remember, 3 games. It's not like he played for 2 straight weeks and this was the line. So we'll start with the line. 077 200 077. That's good.
It's bad. It's a bad line, but it's 3 games. He's coming back.
But it's Tyler Freeman. It's Tyler Freeman, our former either number one or number two prospect. And he's back from his shoulder injury. So that's the good news, is he was activated. So Freeman's back.
That he's healthy enough to be playing again is the key here. You're right.
And this was his AAA debut, so he's had 3 games. So, yes, a negative 11 WRC plus is not good, but it was 3 games. It was 13 at-bats, 15 plate appearances total. He also got hit by 2 pitches.
Come on, guys.
He actually has a tendency to get hit.
I remember you saying this, yeah.
He's not quite Brandon Guyer level. But he's right up there. If you remember, Greg Allen always got hit by a lot of pitches in the minors as well. So even though Tyler Freeman's not a guy that draws a lot of walks, and he did not have any walks yet, He's actually got on base from getting hit by pitches more than he's had strikeouts. So that has helped his on base percentage be 130 points almost higher than his batting average.
You know, this all makes me wonder if someone like Guyer ever sat down and calculated how much each of those bruises was worth on one of his contracts based on his on base percentage.
Well, I remember he got hit a lot on like the thigh.
Yeah.
Because like, it was some way, somehow with the way that his leg kick was, his body would go through the strike zone for a small portion. So
I'm trying to picture it again here in my head,
yeah.
But I'm like the way he twerked his knee, like back towards his back hip almost. Like,
I still remember him getting blasted by a John Lester pitch in the World Series. Like, that's just what he does, man.
They'll give you the base for it, and and so.
Yep. But, so, yes, Tyler Freeman's line was not good, but the good news is he's playing.
And I'm going to be really curious as he comes back, as he's building strength back up at game level in the shoulder, how long it takes him to get fully up to speed.
Yeah. This is a guy that only played less than half the season last year. He hit pretty well. But he's been out recovering from shoulder surgery since then. So, and this is the second time he's had a shoulder injury. So it's just should be worth paying attention to see how he performs. But I'm not expecting him to just immediately hit the ground running full speed. So we're going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and give him a little bit of time to get reacquainted with professional baseball again.
You've got 3 days, Tyler. That's it.
Ooh, and Emmanuel Clase just struck out Vlad Guerrero to get the win. So
there we go. Beautiful. A little update for you guys here as we nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Record on Wednesday.
Yeah. Whoops.
So, what can you tell us about Daniel Espino?
Yeah. So there's good and bad news with Daniel Espino. The good news, he was sensational again. In two games, he struck out 19 batters in 9.9 and two-thirds innings, allowed 3 runs, only walked 1. So a 19-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
His strikeouts per
striking out, 17.69 batters per 9 innings.
I just decided that anything above or anything more than 17 is illegal. And so he is in violation of the law, and he must know this.
I mean, anything over 9 or 10 is considered good. And then
17!
Yeah, 17. So, yeah, that's nuts. And as a starter, like, if you remember when Karinchak was blowing through the minors and had that ridiculous season where he was whiffing everybody, he was at, like, 20. But that's where he would come in and expend every ounce of energy in one inning. Okay.
Espino's
doing it as a starter. He's doing it as a starter. And one of those starts, he struck out 14 batters in 5 innings.
What really, who cares that he gave up 2 home runs? He only walked 1 guy during that stretch. So forget it being like effectively wild or anything. He is just smoking dudes. And there they lay.
So that's the good news, is Daniel Espino at this point might be the best pitcher in minor league baseball. Bad news, he missed a start this week because of a sore knee. Apparently he has tendonitis in his knee. From what I'm hearing is they're being precautionary. He left his last start early with the soreness in the knee, so he's missing this week's start. They think that he could start next week again. So I don't expect it to be a long-term thing, but he is on the injured list right now because they have a 7-day injured list in the minor leagues. So, and since he's basically pitching once per week, they can put him on the list to clear up a space for somebody for a week.
Nice. I think I posted this in one of the comment sections of the minor league recaps, but the knee stuff for a pitcher always, ever since Andrew Miller, makes me a little twitchy. Just because it feels like he never really, once he had it started.
Well, Miller was so like long and gangly. I think it's a little scarier that he had knee problems. Espino's like shorter and more compact. I think he can, you know, be okay.
I wonder if it's a little like 7-footers in the NBA. Especially once you start getting past 7'2", one day the knees will just not any longer.
Well, you're talking to a guy that went to college with Greg Oden.
Oh dear.
So, like, he went from number one draft pick to what could have been in the NBA because of knee injury. So yeah. Now you're scaring me.
Hey. I grew up having to deal with Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill and T-Mac and everybody hurt. So mm-hmm. We'll just keep him away from Tractor Trailer. He should be fine.
Yep. But yeah, I don't think it's a big long-term thing. Tendonitis is a little scary because that's something that usually requires a more long-term rest type of situation, not having 4 months to go in a season situation. So we'll see what happens. It depends how serious it is. We don't know. We're not the team doctors. We don't know how bad it is.
Thank God we're not.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just see if he shows up and pitches again this upcoming week. More bad news. Speaking of injuries, Gabriel Arias, he did make his major league debut. He got his first major league hit, but it was just during a doubleheader, and they sent him right back down to Columbus. And it seemed like he struggled a little bit in Columbus this past 2 weeks, slash just 144, 184, 286. And then he went on the injured list with a fractured, wrist or hand?
It was either hand or wrist.
Yeah, I think exactly a bone in his hand.
It was not the hamate.
Yeah, it was not the hamate.
They would have said.
Yeah. But what was interesting was there was no specific instance where you just saw him hurt his hand. So this could have been something that's been bothering him for a while that he's been trying to play through.
I was wondering. And
that would explain why he had a rough week and a half before he went on the injured list. So, because he does not typically have a struggle bus line like he had, where strikeout percentage exploded up to 34, walked just 2.6, did somehow still hit 2 home runs during that time.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I might want to go through the game log here just for my own neuroses to see if we can use stats to isolate the occurrence of an injury. Why not?
That could be interesting. But yeah, because he was pretty hot to start the season and then all of a sudden struggling. So I think that probably is what happened, is he hurt his hand and tried to play through it, and it just got worse. And he decided, let's go in the injured list for a little bit.
He might have a little more of an uphill climb than we thought back to the major league roster. Because I think Andrés Giménez learned how to hit against the shift.
Yeah. Giménez has been scorching hot, and Miller's continues to hit well. Yeah. And
all graduates.
Clement's been Mr. Reliable as a utility guy. Naylor's been on fire. Palacios has looked pretty good. It's an exciting time right now for the young guys in Cleveland.
Can I lead us into number six?
Number six, let's go.
So I last saw Nolan Jones at a game last year.
Yes.
At a Clippers game.
I do have an update.
This is what I was hoping for, because I have heard, I haven't seen anything, and I checked.
Mm-hmm. So mine's a little more obscure. Like, it wasn't like I got some report on when he'll be back or anything. But, if you remember last podcast, I said, hey, Freeman and Jones could be back soon. And Freeman is back, so I got half of them right. Now, with Jones...
Depends on how many O's you put in soon, I guess.
But with Jones, here's my update. I saw a video of Josh Wolf, who is also a pitcher that's recovering from an injury. And he, I think the update showed that he was pitching to live batters at the training complex in Arizona. And the video was Wolf pitching to Nolan Jones. So Jones is healthy enough to be taking live at bats from, one of our top pitching prospects. So the good news is he seems to be, getting closer if he's in there in the box against live pitching. So
yes.
I would think he's going to be back soon.
That's a really, really good sign. And I am excited to hear this. Nice catch.
Yes. So That's our update on Nolan Jones. I would not be surprised if he returns this month for sure. And hopefully, just like Freeman, he's back before our next podcast.
Excellent.
And unlike Freeman, maybe he'll come back and absolutely just torch the ball.
It would be fun if he comes back and does some Return of the King shit. He's just like, I used to be the number one prospect, motherfuckers.
Yeah, like we're kind of reaching
all the way over nationwide.
Yeah, we're kind of reaching that point with Jones where it's, you know, should we get off the pot? You know, find out what we got with him. You know, not just let him rot in AAA forever. So,
and like I'm super excited to see him come back and play. To be clear, so this isn't any like actual come on, Nolan. It's just.
We're excited. You know, a lot of times when a guy, you know, maybe last year debuted at AAA, this year he's, you know, used to it a little bit more. Maybe he comes back and he hits the ball really well. So we'll see.
Not every guy, not every person handles moving around just as well. I know I don't settle until like six months after I move.
We've had several guys that struggle the first time they get brought up and then, you know, then the second time around they see it and they look a lot better. Like look at Joe Naranjo or Will Benson throughout his career, Oscar Gonzalez. So, next up, number seven on our prospect countdown, Logan T. Allen.
So, is the T strictly necessary at this point?
Well,
or are we just going to grandfather it in?
So, the original Logan the Lesser, did get DFA'd this past week, but he hasn't been picked up by another team. So, it's still entirely possible that he gets brought back and sent down to Columbus. So until that happens, Logan T. Allen is still the one true Logan Allen.
Would he be able to refuse assignment to AAA at this point and elect free agency?
Yes.
Okay. I was just curious. So, I don't know that he would.
Same with Bobby Bradley. So it'll just depend. It's been less than a week still since that Cleveland had to make that choice to when they reduced the rosters. So I think we've got up until Monday for a trade or an assignment to take place. So
perfect. Logan T. Allen had himself a week. Do you want to take it away? A week.
Yeah. So he had three starts during these past 2 weeks, all with a AA Akron, and he was lights out. So he pitched 17 innings, struck out 20 batters, walked 7, gave up 3 earned runs. So had an ERA of 1.59, struck out 10.59 batters per 9 innings and walked just 2.8. Or had a 2.8 strikeout to walk rate.
I mean, if you guys are in Northeast Ohio, it's going to be a lot cheaper to go see him now than in a couple years.
I mean, this guy, especially with a couple of our starters struggling right now, he's going to be forcing the issue a little bit. So
as he's continued to move through the system, he, like every milestone that I have in my head, which would maybe be fun to actually sit down and like write out at some point, but there's never really been any point where I've looked at a week and seen a major concern or then it seems he like every other time we talk about his numbers, it's something like this where it's like, why aren't more people paying attention again?
He has been Mr. Reliable. Like he is a quality start machine. Like he's not going to guarantee, you know, 6 shutout innings, but he's probably going to give you 6 innings, 1 or 2 runs almost every time. He's going to give you a chance to win every time you throw him out there.
So, I found it.
Really like what I've seen out of him.
He threw a wild pitch.
He did throw one wild pitch.
You know what? I gotta rethink my whole stance on him now.
No, he's definitely making a very strong case to get promoted to AAA.
If he keeps throwing like this, there's absolutely no reason for him to continue to smoke AA guys. Another really, really fun week, and I will let you read the numbers again. Number 8, Gavin Williams.
Yep, Gavin Williams. In 2 starts, he went 11 innings, allowed just 1 run, which was earned, with 12 strikeouts and 4 walks. So had a strong 3.27 strikeout to walk ratio. 3 strikeout to walk ratio. Yeah, just again, really, really liking what I'm seeing out of Gavin Williams. I mean, this guy has been tremendous. He really has.
He gave up three hits.
He gave up three hits. Three hits in 11 innings.
It's just
that whip is nasty.
He's as good as you were saying he would look so far, and that's exciting.
I mean, right now, our top three pitching prospects have been our top three pitchers. So that means talent evaluators doing a good job out there. Espino, Logan T. Allen, and Gavin Williams have been completely lights out.
Well, we vote pretty well here on the website too, apparently.
Well done covering the corner readers. So
how do you want to cover Richie Palacios? Our next
here. Gentleman? Yeah, Richie Palacios. Well, first off, congratulations. Got called up to the bigs. He is on the show. And not only has he got called up, but he picked up his first major league hit. And he has got regular playing time in Cleveland.
He's like good and stuff.
Yeah. Which
we knew that. You can't just do ambulance stunt jumps in a blog post if you're mm-hmm. nobody.
Yep. So at the major league level already, he is racked up. Let's see. He had a two huge clutch RBI the other night in a win. He's played 8 games now, and how many hits does he have? 7 hits now. So he stole his first base today, I think.
I'm just excited to see that the power is translating pretty nicely so far too. I mean, he hasn't crunched anything. He has a double. I mean,
well, that double was oppo, you know, deep. So
yeah, like looking at the exit velocities, he's making solid contact.
Yeah.
It's not like it's like the power will come in the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. It's so far, like you can hear it too when he swings and makes contact. Like it's he's hitting it.
He's currently slashing .316, .381, .368. So, you know, keep him in the lineup.
Yep. I mean, Those are numbers you don't demote.
And I think what's been especially impressive is his strikeout rate has stayed the same. Last year when he got promoted to AAA, his strikeout rate was 19%. And right now at the major league level, it's 19%.
Mm-hmm.
And his walk rate, which has been very strong throughout his career, usually over 10%, has been as high as 17% last year when he first got called up to AAA, but currently 9.5%. I mean, that'll play. That is a very good walk rate at the major league level. And I think it'll only get better as he starts to see major league pitching better. So I said from the beginning that I thought Richard Palacios and Stephen Kwan could solve our outfield dilemma since we've already got Miles Straw. And they're getting regular playing time right now, especially with Naylor starting to kind of take over first base.
Yeah, especially with Bradley having moved on.
So, yeah, I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of Palacios. So I hope he stays. I really do.
Yeah, it's been really
good.
Fun.
He looks really good.
He's been good in the field, too.
And that's still not his strength, because that's still a position he's learning. Because he was a minor leaguer when we drafted him, and they really only first moved him to the outfield last year.
A minor leaguer when we
drafted him? I mean, he was an infielder, is what I
meant.
Cool,
okay.
Sorry.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. He was a bit of, I think, a shortstop, but could play second and third. So basically a utility infielder.
Yeah, so he's kind of the first iteration of this middle infield type that they went out and got for his overall athleticism, who they have now transitioned to an outfield role through the system.
But he also does have, and he's a high speed guy. I mean, last year he stole 20 bases at the minor leagues. So
I think generate
what's been impressive with me so far is at every level that he's ever played, he's had a over 100 WRC plus every level of the minor leagues and now at the major league level. So far as a major leaguer, he's at 128 WRC plus.
Yeah.
That'll play.
It'll be exciting to watch him continue. And like, I think the power numbers will creep up because continues to make solid contact like this, he's going to keep running and you can generate power with speed.
Yeah, he's not like, you know, a guy that's going to be blasting home runs, but if he stays on the ball the other way, that's really where a lot of his power generates is, like he hit several home runs last year, Oppo. So if he's hitting the, like staying on the ball and being a little bit more patient with it, you're going to see him really start driving the ball at the opposite field. And that's really where I think we can expect him to come through with those big hits.
Who is our number 10 man on the countdown?
Yeah, number 10 is John Kenzie Noel. And he was solid. I mean, this is a guy. Now, the batting average wasn't huge, but the power was. So he only hit 205. So when you only hit 205, you're not expecting to have a crazy slugging percentage. But his slugging percentage was 615, which is elite. I mean, that's elite slugging. So, and that happened because he blasted 5 home runs in these last 2 weeks.
And I know it can be dangerous to extrapolate, but I did the back of the envelope math here. And if he did this over the course of a full season, he'd hit 75 home runs.
Yeah.
And I say to myself, screw it. Hang out by the Mendoza line if you're going to hit the ball that hard. I don't care. Well,
what's That's funny, valuable. Yeah. What's funny is he normally hits at a higher contact rate, like, and he does hit for average. Because last year he batted over 300, I think, for the season.
The secret stat here on his stat sheet this week is that he was this incredibly valuable with a BABIP of 143.
Yeah, he was extremely unlucky. And put up a 148 WRC plus.
Like a guy that hits the ball that hard to have a BABIP that low for a week is nuts.
Yeah. Like, I understand his strikeout rate has gone up a little bit, which is a little concerning, but his walk rate is also moving up. So he's actually posting a, you know, career high walk rate. So he's being a little bit more patient this season. I think particularly because pitchers know now that you do not want to screw up against this guy.
No.
So they're not throwing him as many strikes as they have been. So he's learning to be a little bit more patient and take the walks when they come. But that's a skill that takes a little bit of time to develop. So you're going to see the strikeout rate go up as he starts to learn to start to lay off some pitches.
If he gets even a little bit more selective, he's a very exciting young baseball player.
He is. This is our first baseman of the future, legitimately.
It's going to happen. With the sound of his latest home run.
It
sounds like somebody blew up a car and the third baseman just like flinches and then thinks about looking up, sort of doesn't, and then goes and does look over his shoulder. And it's like, I shouldn't have looked. That's embarrassing. It's really funny.
Yeah, I'm a monster fan of Mr. Noel. So keep it up, John Kenzie. Keep blasting home runs. He is currently, I believe, tied with Oscar Gonzalez for the organization lead in the minors with a 6. So
he caught up real quick.
He did, because Oscar was way ahead of him, and then he caught up in about a week.
That's fantastic. Are you ready for the top 5 from everywhere in the system this week?
Yeah, and we got a couple familiar names here.
Yep. So we have already discussed Logan T. Allen and Gavin Williams. Do we want to, anything else we want to do for these guys to wrap them up for the fourth?
Just that they are both amazing, and I am so happy that they are part of our system.
I see no need to cross-examine.
Yeah. So very quickly, we have 2 of the top 5 players of the week knocked out, but we also have another pitcher that had a very strong performance. So tell us all about Mr. Davis Sharp.
Yeah, so I was thinking I was keeping an eye out for a reliever this week, because unless they really blow the lid off the place, it's kind of easy to miss them in the stat sheets. And so Sharp this week, 4 innings pitched, but struck out 7. No
That's
home
good.
Runs. Only a single walk, no hits, no earned runs. Man, you can't ask for too much more.
So he was one of our 18 college pitchers that we drafted last season out of the 20 rounds. He was the 13th round selection out of Clemson. So he is a 6'4" right-handed pitcher. So far in his professional career, He has made pitched in 7 games. Overall, he has pitched 12 1/3 innings with 19 strikeouts, has a 0.73 ERA and a 0.73 WHIP.
Yep. That's so.
That's good. That is very really, good. Really good. So, yet another steal that Cleveland has picked up in the later rounds of the draft, it looks like.
We will keep our eyes on him. Who do we have next?
Next up, we do have some hitters, and this one has been absolutely scorching hot all season.
Can we read the numbers first? And then I want to build the suspense.
So his slash line this past 2 weeks, and this is over 2 weeks, 448, 614, 517.
I'm sorry.
If he was doing this, he'd be getting the Kwan first 2 weeks of the season treatment. So monster performance, absolute monster performance. And the name of this young man is Milan Tolentino. If you are not familiar with him, he was believe it or not, a glove first prospect that Cleveland drafted out of high school in the 4th round of the 2020 Major League Baseball draft. So glove first. So he is actually perhaps even better at playing defense than he is at hitting the ball. But last year he played in Arizona, and he had a strong season. It was nothing like insane, but batted 301 with a 362 on base percentage, did club 6 home runs, had a 496 slugging, so well above average as a 19-year-old in Cleveland's rookie league. And he actually did earn a very late season promotion to Lynchburg.
Mm-hmm.
And he has started this season in Lynchburg again. And last year, he had a 121 WRC plus at Arizona. So very strong. But this year, he has been unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So entering the season, last year, his best walk rate was 8.6%. And that was over 16 games when he got promoted to Lynchburg. And his strikeout rate last year was 29% in Arizona and 31% in Lynchburg after he got promoted. This year, he's now played more games in Lynchburg than he did last year. So he played 17 this year. He had 16 last year. So in more games, his walk rate has jumped up to 21.1%. That's disgusting. And his strikeout rate is cut in half, more than cut in half, 14.5%.
That's like there is some luck here with his hot start.
Yeah, however, the BABIP is 490.
But
strikeout rate more than cut in half, walk rate more than doubled. Those are not luck.
Right.
So
in 76 plate appearances, and he's that dramatic a reversal in both categories.
Yeah. And he's not even hitting for power yet. Like, because last year he hit 7 home runs in a half season as a 19-year-old. So I am really excited about this young man.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. And I don't know if you saw today's minor league recap that was posted on Covering the Corner, but he had something really special happen to him yesterday. He was up to bat, and I believe Cleveland was playing the Los Angeles Angels affiliate, or the Lynchburg was. And Milan Tolentino's father is the Spanish play-by-play announcer for the Los Angeles Angels.
That's fantastic.
So they had him in as a guest in the booth, and they let him call his son's at-bat, and Milan smacked a line drive directly over the shortstop. The shortstop jumped up, and it just barely was out of his reach, and Milan stretched it into a double, and his dad got to call it.
His dad's a radio play-by-play guy?
Yeah.
Okay, Milan's going to be really good. That was easy. So I had no idea. That's cool.
Yeah, isn't that the coolest? So I made sure to include that in today's Covering the Corner recap. So if you have not seen it, go check the Thursday Covering the Corner minor league recap. It's the Lynchburg game. Really cool. It'll get you a little emotional. It was pretty special. So, and his dad has a really awesome Spanish accent, since normally he's calling games in Spanish, mm-hmm. and he called it in English. So,
oh, that's kind of cool too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, it was really cool. So highly, highly recommend you go check that out. But yeah, Milan has been incredible this season. Absolutely, unbelievably incredible. And he's also already stolen four bases and has not been caught. So, which is already higher than he did last year.
I like the zoom.
Mm-hmm. So everything about this young man, he is going to be rocketing up the prospect list if he keeps this up.
And sample size is still small, but those walk rates and those strikeout rates, you don't get that much change unless something clicked, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So Kermit flailing.
Yep. And then there's one more player on our top five list. So tell us all about Mr. Jake Fox.
I encountered him first while doing one of the Saturday morning minor league recaps for the Friday night games. He slashed 323, 560, 387.
Mm-hmm.
So truly a fantastic week that would look sensational had Tolentino not done something absolutely stupid.
What's crazy is these guys are on the same team, too.
Yeah, they've been lighting guys up. And 17 walks, 34% walk rate.
Yeah.
Excellent. And the thing that really jumped out at me is Fox was drafted as a shortstop, and he's playing in center field. Or it might have been second base. So they're already working on positional versatility with him.
Yeah, let me check here. This season, he has played 9 games at second, 3 games at third, 5 games at center field, and 2 at DH. He has not played shortstop. He played shortstop 4 games last year.
It's just interesting.
So they're definitely working on his versatility. Fangraphs loves this kid, by the way. Right now they have him as his hit is currently 25 out of 55. So they think that it could get significantly better.
Yeah, and he's still a teenager and will be for the rest of this year.
Because he was drafted out of high school last season. Like, remember how Cleveland drafted 21? They had 21 draft picks. They took 18 pitchers. He was their third round pick, and he was a high school infielder. So they really liked what they saw, and then they gave him a very aggressive promotion in his literally just turned 19 2 months ago season. And he's at full season ball as a just turned 19-year-old.
And he continues to blast snoods, as it were.
And look, you need to hear this. So the past week numbers are ridiculous, but for the season, his walk rate is 26.7%.
Why not?
That's over a quarter of his at-bats. He walks. That's a guaranteed walk a game as long as he gets four plate appearances.
So I wrote in the recap, like, you can probably promote him, you guys. We're not going to know if he has power if he doesn't have to swing.
On the season, he's slashing .267, .477 on base, and then .317 slugging because he has 3 doubles. Those are all of his extra base hits, and he's taking advantage of those plate appearances because he has 5 steals with all those walks as well.
This is like with the hidden power thing, right? So basically he has 13 singles. 5 of those times he stole a base. One of them you go ahead and erase from a caught stealing. Like that's a lot of extra bases just for being fast.
Well, he does have 23 walks.
I know.
But so those could be as well.
Just thinking in terms, I guess you would want to add singles and walks if you were going to do it that way. But you know what I mean.
And 2 hit-by-pitches. So
you're turning trips to first into trips to second, mm-hmm. really, and only exchanging one stupid walk.
And I think what's really impressive is he debuted, even though we drafted him last year, he did. And you know, they moved the draft back to July. So it's a very short turnaround to get drafted and then make your pro debut. A lot of players don't. But he actually did play 13 games last year. And in 13 games at the Arizona Complex League, he sported a 147 WRC+. So what's he doing right now? He has played 19 games so far at full season in Lynchburg. He's at a 148 WRC+.
Yeah.
So he has been Mr. Consistent. He is basically 1.5 times better than the average player at his level.
Maybe this is a comparison from outer space, but I remember when Maurice Claret showed up at Ohio State, it was kind of unusual at the time that he graduated early from high school, so he could show up to like spring camp the year before his freshman year. And people were like, what? And then they found out very quickly for that one glorious season of him just running people over. And so the fact that he's one of the guys who went ahead and hopped in immediately after being drafted, mm-hmm. that points to, and he's already working on positions that he's not used to. That indicates really good makeup and work ethic. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. So I really like what I see out of this kid. I think he's going to be special. And yet another talented young infielder in the system.
Mm-hmm. I know Claret maybe isn't the best comparison for makeup, but work ethic,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a reason why Lynchburg has been scoring like 8 or 9 runs per game during the last 2 weeks, it's because Jake Fox and Milan Tolentino are in the middle of the top and middle of that lineup. So really, cool really special young players.
Coming up together, we might have to think of nicknames, but that'll happen. Yeah. What's in the cupboard?
All right. So if you remember, the corner cupboard is the section of the podcast where we pick a couple players that are not top 20 prospects, and we kind of follow them along throughout the season to see how they perform. And, you know, sometimes we find some diamonds in the rough that become legit talents that become Cleveland players. So. This past, in our last podcast, I selected Will Brennan as my corner cupboard position player. And if you're not familiar, he is 24 years old. He was an 8th round pick in the 2019 draft by Cleveland. He currently is playing at Double A. And he is off to an extremely hot start. So far in 2022, he has a 151 WRC+, which is absolutely ridiculous. Over the last 2 weeks, let's see here. Should I include yesterday? No. We go to Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
Yep. So over the last 2 weeks, Will Brennan has slashed. He's cooled off a little bit. 233, but the on-base percentage, 359 with a 333 slugging. So WRC plus has been exactly 100. So he has been a league average player, but he is still base. Almost walking twice as much as he's striking out.
He gets on base.
He gets on base. If you've been watching your Moneyball, he gets on base. 18% walk rate in the last 2 weeks, 10% strikeout rate. So I like that.
All right. Well, my position player to start off the year is Daniel Schneeman. And his last couple of weeks, he slashed 152, 282, 273. Good for a WRC plus of 63. Again, not one of those weeks where you're absolutely lighting it up, but little bit of bad luck with a BABIP of 174.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of very nice games in this stretch, though. So
he did hit a home run, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the 1st of May, mm-hmm. he went 2-for-4, hit a home run, touched the plate twice. And then back on the 28th, he had a 3-walk game. So he's continuing to get on base, too, despite not having too much luck on balls in play. So
mm-hmm.
we'll see what he does.
Okay.
Over the next 2 weeks.
Now, my pitcher is Aaron Davenport. And I'm going to include his game yesterday that would have been out of our stretch that we normally include because there's something funny that happened. So he made three overall appearances, three starts. And in those three starts, he went 11 and two-thirds innings, allowed three earned runs, struck out 13, and walked six. So overall had a 2.31 ERA, and just overall had a solid stretch. But what's funny was his start yesterday. It was three innings, gave up two runs, and he got ejected because apparently he was covering home plate and a guy was trying to score and he tagged him too hard.
How dare he?
Yeah, how dare he? And if you watch, he tags the guy. I mean, it was a bit of a hard swipe at him, but he tagged him. And the guy gets up after sliding into home and shoves him. And then the bench is clear. And I, from what I remember reading, I think four players on the team got ejected in the game.
He applied the tag, then the runner got up and shoved him.
Yes.
And he got thrown out of the game for tagging?
You can watch it. I have it included in Thursday's Covering the Corner minor league recap. So what happened was a guy hit just a little dribbler, and Davenport tried to pick it up, and he slipped and decided to eat it. And the catcher had come out to field it as well, but Davenport got to it first. And the guy tried to score, so Davenport had to race home. And they, like, just kind of collided a little bit. The guy didn't slide. And Davenport, you know, shoved him a little bit with his tag. And the guy just did not appreciate it. And then, you know, the guy shoves him, and Davenport's got this long flowing hair, and his hair flies all over the place. And he doesn't back down, and you'll see.
Okay, Davenport's the pitcher. I was confused. Yes.
So that's what happened.
We might want to edit this up some, because now I'm watching, and what the hell happened here?
Yeah, it was a bit of a chaotic scene.
This isn't on Davenport at all.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this, and Hines kind of starts to stop and square up a little bit.
Yeah. Like, it looked like he was trying to think about, you know, plowing him over.
Yeah, and he didn't, to his credit.
Yeah.
But
he changed his mind, and then Davenport was kind of ready to stand his ground on him.
Yeah, somebody must have said something one way or the other. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Or there's something between these guys that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Anyway, drama.
Yep. So, anyway, you know, Davenport has been rock solid for me, and I know it's only been 1 week, but there is one player I want to switch him out with. We can switch out whenever we want for any particular reason. So yes. Davenport hasn't done anything wrong. He's actually been fine. I mean, you saw it. You heard his stats. They're good. Mm-hmm. But there is a player that I'm even more excited about that's not on any of the prospect lists, and his name is Will Dion. Have you heard anything about this young man?
I know the name and recognize that he is one of our prospects.
So Davenport, I think, was a fifth-round selection by Cleveland in last year's draft, a college pitcher. Dion was the ninth-round selection.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about him is he had a favorite player growing up, and it was Clayton Kershaw.
And I remember seeing this about him.
So if you watch him pitch, he looks exactly like Clayton Kershaw with his mannerisms, with the way he throws his curveball, the way he pitches, his entire pitching style. And he's a lefty, of course.
Of course.
He has earned the nickname Baby Kershaw.
And I heard it growing up sometimes, too. Like, if you've got a favorite player with a great swing, just steal it. And it's fun to see somebody do it with a pitcher.
So far,
it so well that everybody sees him throw and goes, wait a second.
And he was a little young for getting drafted. I mean, he was drafted last year, and he just turned 22.
Okay.
And he's not at high A. He is at low A, I believe, right now in Lynchburg. But so far in four games, he has gone 15 and one-third innings pitched. And his ERA is 1.76 with 22 strikeouts. So,
hello.
Yeah. Very impressive 35.5% strikeout rate. Really like what I'm seeing out of him. He's striking out almost 13 per nine innings. So he's been good every start so far this season. And I am going to make him my new corner cupboard player.
Okay. So there's no actual, you don't lose any points. We know those are the most important thing here. And there's no actual reprimand from the league office, but I will not format his name in the text box until next week when I remember I didn't do it and go crazy and have to fix it.
So now I have a pair of Wills as my corner cupboard players.
So for me, my pitcher in the cupboard at this time is Jack Leftwich. He, in the last 2 weeks, he had a start on the 23rd and then also on the 30th. Ended up pitching seven innings, earned a win for both with a 3.86 ERA. Six hits, five runs, three earned, one home run, three walks, a couple of wild pitches and 11 strikeouts, but a good start. And when you take a look at the first 2 weeks that he pitched here as well, that adds a couple more starts. He didn't get a decision on either of those, but he didn't give up a run either. So they're staggering 3-4, 3-4 so far with his inning count. I'll be interested to see if they start to stretch him out a little bit more and keep him at single A, or if they want to have him face some more advanced hitters sooner since he's a college arm. But good start. I'm excited.
Yep. That is good to hear as well. So next up, would you like to do the transactions or do you want to answer some questions?
We should have time for both. Do you want to crank through the transactions and then we can get to the listener questions?
Yeah, let's do that. So first things first, we had a couple players get injured. So Alexfree Planez, outfielder in Lake County, was placed on the 7-day injured list. I do not know what the injury was. Former top outfield prospect Daniel Johnson, who was in Columbus, was placed on the 7-day injured list with a right quad strain. Tyler Freeman was activated, as you saw. Outfielder Chris Roller was also activated in Columbus. Now, this is interesting. We mentioned it earlier, Bobby Bradley and Logan Allen being designated for assignment. Bobby Bradley cleared waivers and made it to Columbus. Logan Allen was claimed by the Orioles. And the only other interesting things are Trenton Brooks was activated off the injured list in Columbus. And Gabriel Arias was placed on the injured list with a right hand fracture.
So this means we can strike the T if we want. We'll have to revisit this soon. Decisions.
I still kind of like calling him the one true Logan Allen.
It's fun. Allen the Greater. I actually think calling him Logan Allen the Greater, the one true Logan Allen, is a lot funnier now that he's the only one.
And who knows, he could come back. I don't know if you saw this as well, because it didn't go through in the transaction for some reason, or it wasn't listed. But Luis Oviedo was claimed by Cleveland.
Ooh, interesting. So
he actually made his debut last night and pitched an inning of relief with two strikeouts, a scoreless inning of relief for Double A. If you remember, he was a Rule 5 draft pick,
yeah,
and spent the whole season with Pittsburgh, so they kept him. But then they designated him for assignment because...
What are they doing out there?
He had never pitched above low A. And then they kept him a whole season, three levels above where he had ever pitched. And then they decided, you know what, let's send him back down. And he was out of options and Cleveland claimed him. So good for Cleveland. Let's see if Luis Oviedo can make it as a reliever because he's still young, if you remember. Let's see how old he is.
What the heck are they doing waving a guy they wasted a Rule 5 pick and a year's salary on? What are they doing?
He's only 22 years old.
Pittsburgh.
So thank you, Pittsburgh, for giving him back to us.
Yeah, I was a little bummed and surprised he got taken, and then very surprised they kept him a whole year, so I just assumed.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yep. Well... He clearly wasn't ready for Major League Baseball. Last year, he had an 8.8 ERA.
Well,
so that was just completely unfair what they did to him.
Yeah.
But he's back where he belongs, and I would love to see him make it as a reliever in the Cleveland system.
I would too. And I guess this makes for an interesting case study, maybe, about development.
Mm-hmm.
This, in my mind, it could break either way.
Yeah, we saw what happened. It broke good for Santander, but...
Right. So we now have some listener questions take a look at. Our first up is from Derek, TribeGuy97, asking, who do you guys think Clefo views as the future at the MLB level at every position? This could include pitching as well, if you'd like to delve into that.
All right, well, I know a couple.
Yeah.
So Miles Straw has been given an extension, so he is our center fielder, hands down.
Do you want to make, like, 2020 the Jose contract, the window, basically, then, that we're working with here?
Yeah.
Cool. And the Straw contract, I guess.
So, yes. Well. So, Straw, center field, Jose Ramirez, third base. Those are straight up happening, no matter what. And I'm going to go out and say it. I think a certain Andrés Giménez is our shortstop.
Ooh.
I like him. I think he's figuring it out.
He's been really impressive the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with any of this so far, except that maybe Brian Rocchio could bump.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to figure out what to do with Rocchio, Freeman, Arias,
Owen Miller. My hunch is that Rocchio would be a better defender to the point where Giménez could move to second. And then, boy, do you just have a ridiculous double play tandem up the middle mm-hmm. that can also hit. So that's kind of fingers crossed there. Mm-hmm. That would be my infield.
Mm-hmm.
And then Noel at first, a guy with that kind of power. You have to hope
he Valera right field.
Yep.
Kwan left field.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Bo Naylor, Brian LaVastita as our catchers.
They kind of have to be at this point, too, unless we make a trade.
This is
but who trades
Hedges'
for a
last year of his deal. So you would think that if Bo continues to play well like he has been,
mm-hmm.
that he is going to push for that starting job next year, especially if he can do it defensively.
I think he has the ability, because one thing I've seen a couple of times now is pitchers rave about how well he can call games. And I just don't know if we really, I wish we could get some more writing or research done about like how catchers are taught to call games, how organizations think about teaching catchers to call games. Cause when you get it right, it's magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like Trevor Bauer, as we know, has certain and so not great guy, hot head on the mound as well. We're going to redo that bit. Just to use an example of a pitcher who is a bit of a hothead on the mound and a terrible person, Trevor Bauer, I would assume it would take a certain type of catcher to be able to keep him focused, and he gets hit around a little bit. I remember when he first came up, it felt like as soon as he gave up that second base runner, it was like there's four runs on the board immediately, and it took him a while, I think, to be able to get the jitters down. And you wonder how much an effective catcher can help a pitcher develop that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, from what I'm hearing, Bo Naylor has been doing a tremendous job with, like, Daniel Espino in AA.
Yeah.
So, because he's calling those 14 strikeout games.
That's kind of where I'm starting to think, like, and then you have a
and that AA rotation is insane.
And then you've got a battery that's already been pitching and catching together for years. So, when they get to the major league level, like, this could be cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So Naylor's my hope at catcher.
What about the starting rotation then for our future? So how many of the current five guys do you think are still going to be in the rotation in like 3 years?
In 3 years? None of them.
You think none? I would think
they just
maybe
don't extend pitchers.
Maybe McKenzie is still there because he's still young. Like, this is like his third season, so he could still be in arbitration.
Man, it stinks that that's why we're sitting here thinking.
I would say just McKenzie, Quantrill, and then you add the one true Logan Allen, Daniel Espino, Gavin Williams. Boom.
Do you think Williams will be up that quickly?
He's going to be in Double A soon.
Okay.
So in 3 years, you don't think he's going to be in the major league rotation?
3 years. I was thinking.
Like, they started him pro debut at high A, and he is pitcher of the week.
You're right.
So they're not screwing around with Gavin Williams.
That's a solid, that's a really solid sounding rotation based on where these guys are at right now. Mm-hmm. And I know we're.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, we Richie just have Palacios so many.
Just got evaporated right in front of our eyes, right?
Well, I mean, he could be a fourth out. I think he's a fourth outfielder type of guy that so can fill in at any time. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to prognosticate this far out on things, but I think kind
Will,
of what we
Will
mean
Brennan to, could be making a case here, too.
Yeah. I think kind of what we mean to point out is there is a case to be made for all of these guys having the talent to stick at the major league level. Yeah. Some of them still have a bit more time or a bit more things to work on.
Cleveland is going to have to trade away some of these guys. Like, it's just there's too much for them to all get a chance. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions here soon. But it seems like several of these young guys are proving themselves right now before our very eyes. So they're potentially making that choice a little easier because, you know, do you take a guy that's consistently already at the major league level and young putting up above average numbers, or do you take a shot on potentially better but don't know? I think you trade away the unknown, take the known. So, it's frustrating, but, you know, these guys are getting the first chance, and if they make good on their first chance, then that makes the other people expendable.
But you have to measure the value of the unknowns against the value of the risk unknowns that you're hoping for upside in.
Yeah, so you would obviously trade and get something good.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not saying just let them go for nothing. Like, they're still going to be really highly rated prospects, and usually you get some good stuff for those prospects.
I get what you're saying. It's just we're right on the edge of a really, really wild conversation about, like, risk strategy. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to think about.
Yeah, Cleveland has to walk that fine line. They really do. So.
They don't have a huge margin for error. And so it's been interesting to think about where they might be trying to find that extra value. One of them looks a lot like switching positions in the old NCAA football game on PS2. Next up, we've got a question from Nick Kramer.
All right.
Of Cats. What's up with all the similar names in the last few years? And he cites Daniel Johnson, DJ Johnson. Bo Naylor, Bo Taylor, Logan Allen, Logan T. Allen, Mike Freeman, Tyler Freeman, also Ike Freeman.
Yep.
And then Will Brennan, Will Benson.
And Will Bartlett.
Oh, God. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of funny. And it's a little tricky teasing them apart all the time consistently. But I think we do a pretty good job.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too tricky unless they literally have the same name and almost same age and pitch the same left-handed, like the one true Logan Allen. So that's really the only one that gets particularly difficult. So
we also got a note here that at one point there were three guys named Luis Garcia in the system, which
and we have two Naylors. So
we might end up with three. Like it would not shock me.
Has their other one been drafted, or is he about to be?
I haven't.
I know the youngest Naylor, I think he's still.
If they listen to this, it's got to be weird to sit here and go like, oh yeah, he's Googling me right now. I'm sorry. this covering prospects has a certain weirdness to it. Baseball is still what comes up first, so. But I think he was also playing hockey, and there was some uncertainty at one point about which sport he might partake in. Oh, here's something from the Toronto Observer. Texas Tech comment not only believes he has what it takes to get to MLB, but that he could be the best Naylor sibling to do so. Now, I'm sure they don't give him any shit about that. No, this is actually a really nice interview. Talking about how they all have different types of strengths, but he's looking forward to being able to, as he begins his career, presumably at Texas Tech, just to blaze his own trail. So that's kind of cool. Next up, we've got a question from David Avancho. Who would be in your best starting nine, 10 if you include DH, if you had to pick from all players in the Cleveland minor league system? And this is similar, enough.
Now, is this today or is this, you know,
what's this? Oh, that's true. Oh, okay. So, like, David, we're going to warp the question a little bit. Who would you put at each position?
Right now?
Yes. But
okay.
Remember, a lot of these guys can play multiple positions.
Yep. Okay, here's my starting lineup.
Okay.
I think Miles Straw lead off, center field.
These all have to be current prospects.
Oh, it has to be prospects? It's not...
In this version of the question, yes.
Oh, okay. Would Stephen Kwan still count?
He's on the major league roster.
I know, but he's still got his rookie eligibility.
Yeah, okay. Allowed.
All right. So, okay. Stephen Kwan leading off. Let's go Palacios second. And this is, these are not like my like best of the best in terms of future value. These are, if I had to make a major league roster and start them against a major league team. Okay. So I'm not going to include a guy probably that's at low A. So I'm just letting you know, I love Milan Tolentino. I'm not starting him at my major league roster right now. So, okay. So for me, I'd have Stephen Kwan, Richard Palacios, 1-2. And 3, I would have George Valera. Those would be my 3 outfielders. Oscar Gonzalez, DHing. First base. Owen Millen doesn't count. Since he's, well, I wouldn't pick Nolan Jones because he can just play third. Well, let's go Nolan Jones. Let's go Nolan Jones first.
Because we've like got that.
We've got so many guys that can play second, short, and third other than Nolan Jones.
He has enough power and draws enough walks, I think, that ultimately he would be able to stick there. So I like that.
Okay. And then in some combination, I would have Arias, Tyler Freeman and Brian Rocchio, second, shortstop, third.
Cool.
And then catcher, Lavastida, right now. I think that's my entire lineup. Did I miss anybody?
No, I think this is solid.
All right. Is there anybody you would swap out?
So it doesn't specify that we cannot clone players. So I'm going to go with 9 George Valeras and Bo Naylor.
Okay.
Sorry.
You wouldn't have George Valera catching as well?
You know, I don't want him to show off too much. Realistically, I think I would want to stick Jones at third and then build around there, hoping and praying that that's where he ends up. Because I do think that he can. It's just that he might not necessarily end up being able to scoot that way in our system. And so it would be Jones at third, Rocchio at short, Freeman at second. Good God, I'm just going to give Noel first because those home runs, there is a certain amount of morale boost that a really, really loud and long home run gives the rest of the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing. So that's cool. Naylor catching. Duh. Kwan in left, Valera in right. Center is kind of the position where I'm not sure. And maybe you just let Kwan play center,
mm-hmm.
so then you get a little bit more pop out of your left fielder. That also gives you the opportunity to let, like, Jones play left field some. Maybe you just bring Arias along for the ride, too, because then you've got some more flexibility in being able to give guys days off at short and second as well, mm-hmm. and cycle... sort of a weird cyclone of guys. Okay. I still haven't ground. No, that works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish off our last question, I think. And it's a good one.
Who's the next 40-man position player to debut with the Guardians?
Oh, does this say position player? Oh.
Jeffrey Lutz, 922.
Okay.
I didn't even read the time right. It's 922.
When I saw it said, I just saw 40-man. I already had a pitcher in mind.
So. Well, who is it then?
Cody Tell me, Morris. Brian. Cody Morris. Currently on the injured list, 60-day injured list. But I think the second he's off that injured list, the second he's healthy, he's joining that bullpen.
That's a good pick. So you have your position player. Right?
Now, in terms of position players, we have a list here. If you go and check out the MLB.com/Guardians roster/40-man, it actually takes you into a list of every player on the 40-man roster, including all the injured players. And it'll even show you which players are currently in the minors. So you can actually go straight to the position players. And then out of that list, you got to go, okay, well, Gabriel Arias and Brian Lavastida have already been called up and have got hits. So they wouldn't count since they have already made their debuts. So that reduces the list down to 40-man. There's only like six options now. You got Tyler Freeman, Nolan Jones, John Kenzie Noel, Brian Rocchio, Jose Tena, and George Valera. Six choices. Only two of them are at AAA. And that's Tyler Freeman and Nolan Jones. So I think it's going to be Nolan Jones. I don't think that those AA guys leapfrog either of Freeman or Jones.
I guess this depends on how quickly he's able to rebound from his recovery as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to take that as my pick, but now I want to also have a pick. I'm going to go look at the page. It's like a loser.
But if I wasn't following the question perfectly, I would still say Cody Morris, because I think by June or July, he is in the bullpen. You heard it here first.
Unless they do some shakeups on the 40-man roster to accommodate someone else, I think you're right. No, I'm not sure that anybody else could make the leap unless maybe Rocchio comes up for a doubleheader or something, because he's already been to spring training a couple of times now. I'm also wondering again about the previous question, because I keep forgetting Noel's playing a lot of third base too.
Yes.
So that opens up a lot of flexibility.
I mean, he's mainly playing third because he's splitting time with Naranjo, and Naranjo is a first baseman. That's mm-hmm. all he does. So I think if Noel gets promoted to like AA, he'd be playing first base there.
It'll be interesting to see what they want to do with him positionally.
Yeah, like one of those guys is getting promoted to AA soon because they're both playing very well. And I think when whoever does, then they both just play first base again.
I also didn't grab a DH either, but since we can't take Owen Miller.
I'd say Oscar. Go Oscar, man.
Well,
unless you already had him in your outfield.
Well, Richie Palacios has to be involved, and so does Oscar Gonzalez, I think. I don't know. I have a lot of anxiety about it. There's too many good players.
That's a good problem to have, though. Isn't that a good problem to have?
Like, we don't even get paid to do this, and I'm stressing out about it. I can't imagine trying to actually figure it out. Jesus.
That's why I say it should take a little bit of stress off when you see the players performing above average already. And that just, you got a certainty there instead of a what if situation. So, but,
yeah, I think Jeffrey Letts, to bring it back home, Nolan Jones seems like it seems like he would be the next one to come up for any legitimate amount of time, at least. Mm-hmm. Unless there's some tomfoolery afoot.
Well, I think we've reached our point in the podcast where it might be time to go out with a bang in terms of a certain poet.
So I do have a selection ready from E.E. Gammings, if you're familiar with him.
Always.
Okay, well, I will go ahead and begin.
When Hanser Alberto has touched the bat, Ryan Helsley isn't a book in thought. Leonardo DiCaprio's Envelope Your Cup.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies, like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series, Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.